This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Happy President's Day.
Good morning.
Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt hanging with you here. It's cold. It's cold outside, Josh.
A little bit.
It is very, very cold.
Just a little.
I had the experience of getting gas this morning,
ooh,
and that is the worst.
The gas. I don't know if there's like a reason behind this, but have you ever noticed that there's like a few gas stations that they have the lock on the pump where you like pull the handle and the little latch comes down and it locks on?
Yeah.
And then it just automatically shuts off when the gas gets to a certain point. And then, because it goes, there's like a sensor in the nozzle and everything, and then you just kind of manually fill it up from there.
I think those are made up.
No, they're not, because there's like one or two gas station chains that still have them, but everywhere else got rid of them. And I don't know why. Why did you get rid of them? They were, because in the wintertime is really when
it's
you
exactly
need them.
Exactly when I need them.
Because you need to click it on and put your hands back in your pockets.
I don't
want to stand there and hold a metal nozzle while it's 4 degrees outside.
The worst.
Even if you have gloves on, it hurts. Like, it's cold.
Bulldog and Paul talked about this last week of, like, it's always the worst when you have to get out and get gas, and then the wind hits you.
Yep, yeah. Because nothing's covered. Oh, well, it's covered, but it's not. There's no wind resistance because it's just a canopy.
There, I was in my hat. I didn't have, like, a ski cap on or anything like that, and I'm just, up with my, like, with my coat.
Time out.
And I'm like, this is the worst.
What did you call a winter hat?
A ski cap or whatever. But
I've heard beanie, I've heard just winter hat, toque, ski cap. That's a new one.
Yeah. But I'm just like curled up here and I'm like, this is the worst. Like, I don't technically need to get gas right now.
Right, but at the same time, when it's snowing out, you always want to have gas on,
man,
like in your car.
It's the worst. This winter has been rough.
Yeah.
It has been rough.
It's just unrelenting too, because like a few days ago, it was like 37 degrees and raining, and then it was like, oh, cool. Oh, that's going to just turn
all
into ice. Great. And now it is 18, and it feels like -5. We have a low of 6 today, a low of 2 tomorrow, a high of 13 tomorrow.
A high of 13.
And it's not even like, you know, at the end of the week, it starts getting nicer, because Thursday's a low of 9, Friday's a low of 12. Like, there's some hope looking at like an extended 10-day forecast.
There's some hope.
Next Wednesday is going to be 42 degrees.
I would say like the hope for me is that like we're getting close to conference championship games in college basketball.
Okay, yeah, you're looking at like the
I'm getting ready for tournaments. Yeah.
And we're closing in the NHL trade deadline. I mean, there's been NHL trade deadlines where I'm playing baseball outside. So
maybe we're
almost there, but like that groundhog did not lie.
No.
There are 6 more weeks of winter on the way.
But I've always been that kind of person, though. I always use sports as, like, my calendar.
Yeah.
Like, to gear me up. And March and the NCAA tournament has, like, always been that, where we're getting towards February. And it's like, all right, the top teams have hit 20 wins now. Like, we're getting close to those tournament teams. And I'm just like looking outside and I'm like, it don't feel like that at all. I get it. It's like mid to late March is when the actual tournament is, but it does not feel like we're getting close at all. It feels like Christmas should be right around the corner, or that we just had it and now it's like New Year's is around the corner.
I still drive by houses that have Christmas decorations up because you can't get out to take them down.
Yeah.
Because there's either so much snow or it's so cold or both. You can't go out there and like undecorate from Christmas. So you just, if you have those fancy lights where you can change the colors, you can, you know, like make them like red and blue for the bills, or like white and yellow, or white and blue for snow, I guess. I've seen that a few times. But like,
those are pretty cool.
I see some people that they still have like garland up. They have like little reindeer out in the front yard that are just turned off because it's like, yeah, I it's too cold, or like they were buried under 3 feet of snow a week ago. So it's just an interesting time. Like, we're watching golf in California, and it's, you know, sunny and 75.
I watched a lot of the golf this weekend. It didn't help
because I really just – then I look outside going, oh, cool, I can do that soon. Nope.
Because
then when all this melts, it's going to be wet for 3 weeks, and we're going to get rain. I'm sorry. I don't want to be – I'm trying not to be dreary.
I did watch a lot of the golf, though. I was able to watch the live. I was able to watch the first period of USA Canada.
Oh, I watched
it. It kind of ran into not great for me in terms of time-wise. If it went off at 6, I'd be all right. 8, not so much.
Yeah, 8 was a bit – 8's a bit questionable for, like, all these games. Like, I get maybe the final, sure, if it's on a weekend. But today we're having a USA-Sweden game start at 8 on a Monday.
Mm-hmm. And the first game starts at 1.
Yeah, not. I understand. You're playing in the same arena. You have to kind of clean up from the first one. But, like,
selfishly, no. I'd like it to be 1 and then at the latest 6.
Yeah.
Selfishly.
You could easily do 1 o'clock to probably 3:34 is the latest you could expect that game to go for Canada, Finland. You could easily start warm-ups at 5:30 for USA-Sweden. You have to clean the ice, and the players have to leave the locker room.
Yep, I get it. It's it is aggressive. I will say, though, that Canada-US game, I'm saying nothing new when I say this, was incredible. I mean, it was so, so much fun. A very physical, very intense game. Clearly, there is a rivalry there between everybody, not just the fans, the players. Three fights in, like, 9 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
The Tkachuk brothers, who I think Matthew only finished 2 seconds behind his dad in terms of the fastest fight in an international game.
Yeah, you could.
Which is incredible.
The only way he could have fought faster is if he already had his gloves off when the puck was dropped.
Yeah.
Like, it was. I was on the phone with my dad, like, as the pregame was, like, wrapping up and whatever. And he was ahead of me because he was watching it not on streaming. Like, he was watching it on cable. And he goes, oh, wow, they're already fighting. And I'm like, wait, I'm delayed. What are you talking about? And like, I'm still in a commercial break. How are they already fighting? Like,
Oh, that must have been jarring for you.
Yeah.
It's a commercial break. And your dad's like, they're fighting, dude.
Yeah, right. And then I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, yep, it's over. And I'm like, I haven't even saw the puck drop yet. What are you talking about? It's over. Oh, there's another one. There's another one? What do you mean there's another one? Like, that's just, it was an awesome experience to just see those three fights happen so quickly. And you had the little bit of like the wind gets let out of your sails a little bit when McDavid scores that goal. From a hockey fan perspective, that goal was incredible.
Yeah, it's an incredible goal.
That's where you can really see the full speed of Connor McDavid. And by the way, a little bit of an underrated part of it, a great pass from Drew Doughty.
Yep.
Like from his own defensive zone on the dot, he sauces it to McDavid at the blue line, like meets him at the blue line. It was a great pass from Drew Doughty. But the speed from McDavid was just, it's incredible to watch that.
He puts on the afterburners kind of like nobody else.
I don't even know if those are afterburners. I think that's just his normal speed. And he just, if you're McAvoy, I get it. You probably should have stayed off him a little bit. It is Connor McDavid. But you probably also look up and see him at his blue line. And then you look up again and he's right in front of you. And it's like, oh, man.
Like, oh, that happened fast. Okay,
yeah,
here we go.
Right. And Connor Hellebuyck, I mean, can't really do much there.
Like, no, it's a great goal. Really, yeah. I mean, every goal in the game, I mean, outside of like the, you know, the empty netter at the end to seal it, because it's an empty netter, what have you. It was a high quality game between two incredible teams. I agree with Joe too, though. I was listening to seeing Joe and Jeremy on my way in. It's going to be really tough to like go back to just watching like random NHL teams after this. It really is.
Regardless of who it is. You could be watching the Edmonton Oilers play the Florida Panthers, and it's still going to be like, yeah, but are they playing with the same intensity? Could it be better? Could it be different?
But that's also something where, like, and I like this too, because it's an in-season – tournament that means something. I don't think the NBA in-season tournament means anything to these guys. I really, really don't.
No, it's just another trophy where it's like, oh, cool, I won that. Great. Yeah. When's the finals start?
Exactly. When are the playoffs? When are the finals?
Yeah.
Hockey, I mean, even non-hockey fans will tell you the Stanley Cup playoffs is something different. And I have gotten to a point, too, where, as I've kind of become just a hockey fan rather than just a Sabres fan, I tune into the playoffs every year regardless of who's playing.
Right.
It doesn't matter if the Sabres aren't in it. I'd love them to be there. I've kind of almost, and this is maybe bad, but I've kind of almost like resigned myself to, they'll get in when they get in, but I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not gonna miss out on these incredible moments.
I'm not gonna miss out on watching, you know, a Florida Panthers team 2 years ago go Super Saiyan mode in the playoffs and decide,
right,
no, we're gonna be better than everybody. Or Edmonton trying to make a run and get McDavid his and just be putting up, you know, numbers we haven't seen since Gretzky. I'm not going to miss out on that because the Sabres can't get out of their own way.
Right.
And it's gotten to that point even now with this tournament. Mm-hmm. Realistically, one Sabres player is really playing. Finland, they've had so many injuries. Joki Haru, good for him. But
yeah, I don't know why Luukkonen hasn't played a game yet.
That's kind of touched the ice.
It's kind of questionable in my opinion. Like I ahead of him, you have Juuse Saros and Kevin Lankinen.
Yeah.
Or not Lankinen. Maybe Lankinen. I can't remember. He might be on Sweden. But you have Juuse Saros as your starter in Finland. He hasn't looked very good. Like, no. Granted, the whole team hasn't played very well, but maybe switch things up. Maybe we'll see it today. I mean, depending on how things go today, you could have a Finland-U.S. final. The U.S. is clear-cut in the final. They got that on Saturday when they beat Canada. Canada, Sweden, and Finland are all tied at 2 points because they've all either lost in overtime or won in overtime.
Yep.
Finland lost to the United States and then beat Sweden in overtime. Sweden lost twice in overtime, so they have 2 points because they get a loser point if they lose in overtime still.
I love it.
And Canada won in overtime against Sweden in the opening game and lost to the United States. So if you have, you know, if Canada doesn't win in regulation today, they could be eliminated if Sweden wins in regulation.
Which the U.S. would have nothing to play for, which would be rest your guys.
Granted,
and it also might
the United
be an idea
States
of,
is going to play. They're not going to just roll over. But
could also be, though, I don't really want to play Canada again.
Fair, but I don't know. Because if you're
as a fan, I want to see that game.
Yeah, and if you're the Kachucks and if you're, you know, maybe a few other guys, probably most of those guys, they probably are like, yeah, I'd love to play Canada again, especially in Boston in the final after you already showed them. Mm-hmm. You can stay with them. And because honestly, after that first goal, the United States controlled the pace of that game.
Yep.
They did not really falter in terms of speed, in terms of the way they defended against the big guns in McDavid and McKinnon. And I mean, Charlie McAvoy specifically, after that goal gets scored, like 2 minutes later, he decks Crosby into the end boards and gives him another shove afterwards. And then later on, leading up to the first goal, he decks McKinnon or decks McDavid at the blue line. Jack Eichel steals the puck and has a great play up the ice to feed Gensel for the game tying goal. Like, the U.S. used their physicality in the best way possible in that game. It wasn't just that we're going to go out there and try to beat you up and you're going to beat us with speed. It was, we're going to make you scared to play fast because we're going to be able to show you that we can keep up with you and hit you just as hard. Like, that's the way that they played that game, and it worked perfectly. But the way I look at this, how this can go, is you have an avenue where Canada could get eliminated today before the U.S. even drops the puck. Like, if somehow Finland gets them to overtime, there's a real possibility that Canada doesn't even go to the final.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And it would be kind of incredible. Like, I don't foresee that happening. I do think they're going to go out there and kind of beat the brakes off of Finland, because that's what the U.S. did. Not what Sweden did, which was kind of surprising.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really interested in today's games, because it's like U.S. and Sweden is going to be interesting in its own right, because you have JT Miller playing Elias Pettersson.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's something I want to touch on too. You mentioned it off air of, like, is that going to be like a storyline we're going to see?
I don't think he's going to. Okay, so backstory. JT Miller and Elias Pettersson had a lot of issues in Vancouver. That was part of the reason why both of them were on the trade block. Miller ends up getting traded, and it doesn't sound like Pettersson is going to get traded here. But basically, they were just having a lot of issues in the locker room, and whether it be arguments or finger pointing and blaming each other or whatever. But now they're going to play each other in a national game for their countries. Sweden is playing to make it to the final. The U.S. isn't really playing for anything, but they're still going to play their normal speed.
And the scars are still very fresh.
Yeah. So I really wonder how much, if at all, they're going to go at each other. And I think Miller is going to be looking for him. Maybe just to hit him. I don't really think it's going to be a fight, because Pedersen's not going to fight.
No, I agree with that.
He's not that type of player. But I wonder if Miller, you know, does something that warrants a fight from another player. Like,
this is a matchup I desperately want those old NHL mic'd up, like, compilations.
Yeah.
That is more where I see is the chirping and the less than ideal comments, the colorful comments. I could really see that being a big thing from both of them.
This is once again where I bring up, if you had a pay-per-view version of the NHL.
Yeah, it'd be
way
better.
Where it's, you can hear everything and nothing gets bleeped out. I'd pay every game.
I think this is overall. What's funny, and we're sitting here. This is in place of the All-Star break for the NHL. It's funny that we're looking at two different sports. Both play 82 games. Both at times very much struggle with ratings in the regular season. The playoff ratings are a little bit different with hockey and basketball, where I think it's almost unanimous, even from non-hockey fans. The Four Nations Face-Off has been a massive success. This has been everything you've wanted, and kind of it almost hit that off of one game, Canada-US. But even Canada-Sweden was pretty good. US-Finland was good until really the third period, where the US was able to put up four goals. This has been great. You're seeing best on best. You're seeing high level play, and it's just a blast. And then you go to the NBA All-Star. We got First Take on here in the studio. And they're talking about like the different format the NBA's tried to do. It's just failing. It's failing. I know Draymond Green was kind of in the news a lot yesterday for just kind of basically, I think a lot of older players were sort of like, yeah, like his generation sort of ruined this. Like I do know, again, I was not alive when it happened, but Magic Johnson, when he's ultimately going on to retire due to everything, you know, with him, positive for AIDS and stuff like that, and the stigma around it at the time. But he did play in the All-Star game. I think it was the year after. He played that and won the MVP. And that was considered like a huge moment. I cannot tell you the last player that won an All-Star MVP and if it mattered. And I feel like that's been going on for a long time. Here, the three-peat dunk champion is a guy that's playing in the G League.
Mac McClung, I think his name
yep.
is. Yeah.
And his prize money that he gets in the dunk contest outweighs what he's made in the G League in his career.
Yeah.
I
remember the dunk contest used to like mean something to, and Jeremy brought this up earlier this morning. Maybe it was just like when you were a kid, you were like, wow, those guys are incredible.
They're flying. They're superheroes.
But
yeah.
Even still, like looking back on, when was like Vince Carter's big run of dunks? That was like the early 2000s, right? Because I don't really
late
remember.
Late 90s, early 2000s.
I think 2000 was like really big one with him and Tracy McGrady.
Yeah, because I don't remember that like you were saying, like we weren't really alive. If we were, we don't remember it.
Yeah, we don't have like actual memory.
But I know like going back and watching it, right? Like going back on YouTube and seeing all this stuff is like, wow, that's incredible. Like look at these guys. And to me, dunking a basketball is incredibly impressive when you have a defender in your face. Like Ja Morant dunked over Victor Wembanyama.
Mm-hmm.
Victor Wembanyama can touch the rim without jumping.
Yeah.
Like that is impressive. What Mac McClung did with his dunk contest, he jumped over a car. That's impressive. But then there was other ones where he's like just putting two basketballs in at once and like just slamming it down. And I'm not trying to discount it because I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm looking for something that can compare to a player who is the size of Ja Morant, who Ja Morant's a big player and he's a good player, but he's 6'2", and Victor Wembanyama is like a foot and a half taller than him,
like
and he's dunking over him. Like, that to me is something that you can't recreate in a competition like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't have a guy, hey, go stand there and let me dunk over you. Like, no, it's not going to work. But you know what? Jumping over a car, that can draw attention.
Well, especially because Mac is 6'2". Like, it's more impressive in the sense of, like, Michael Jordan's run. He, you know, 6'6". And he's got, like, 7-foot wingspan. Like,
he's jumping from the free throw line and scoring. He's jumping from the three-point line and scoring.
But it seems like a lot with, like, the NBA's All-Star games. It's not even on my radar. And I wonder how many, like, diehard NBA fans it's even on there. I mean, we don't have a team here, and really the only time I care for the NBA is, well, when Luka got traded. That was pretty cool. And then the playoffs. I really enjoy the playoffs. I think the playoffs are a blast. I've mentioned this with the NFL. I love legacy-building moments.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not in regular season games. The NFL can get there because there's less of them. But even records, we've kind of gotten to a point now, as disappointing it is for me, no one really cares for regular season records because it ultimately doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, baseball seems to be the only sport now that is still like, no, our records mean something because a great player can be on a bad team forever. I mean, maybe the best example of that is the famous home run race between Sosa and Maguire. Neither team was good.
Right.
Neither team made the playoffs.
Those guys could just hit bombs, and you were like, oh, cool. Like,
they
let's
were
see
box
who gets
office
there first.
In and of themselves.
Yeah.
That's what you were turning. You didn't care that the Cubs were bad or the Cardinals were bad. You cared because Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa were hitting home runs at a record pace. Ultimately, it's somewhat ruined because of the steroids, but not really.
Yeah.
That's the summer that saved baseball. But baseball's like the only sport where like a player can be on a bad team, and it still kind of works. And even then, it's kind of changing now. Because you're seeing guys have to go to good teams to be still in the zeitgeist. Because there really isn't there's constant run for records. Like Judge, as much as it kind of frustrated a lot of us where we were getting, in the middle of other sporting events, like, all right, here's Judge's at bat as he's going to get pitched 15 pitches that are not remotely close.
Right.
He's not going to hit one, but we're going to watch the entire at bat and ruin another sport. Neither here nor there. But like Shohei Ohtani going to the Dodgers, leaving the Angels, I think kind of had to happen. Like, I'm an Angels fan, but I would argue Mike Trout, due to injuries and being on a bad team, has become one of the most forgotten, truly great players of his generation. He is going to be a guy I think that baseball diehards will mention a lot, But I wonder if the casual fan will ever mention him as like one of the greatest center fielders or just straight up baseball players ever. Because you saw him in one playoff series when he was like 23.
Right.
And that was it. It was a wild card series.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even like a full seven games. Here we go. Let's see what he's got. No, it was very, sudden. And I think that's the thing is like the NHL and the NBA are still trying to make the regular season mean a lot because you want ratings. You want people to tune in. I get that. It's not going to be the NFL. It's not going to be college football. Why? Games. It's the amount of games that are being played.
And I think
every NFL game, you get one a week and it feels like the biggest thing in a month.
Yeah.
Look at how we talk about certain losses.
Yeah.
Where a team could be, go from 6-1 to 6-2. But because we've got now a full week to digest that loss, or maybe a little bit if they're going to play on Thursday night, but we've got a ton of days to dissect an entire loss. Look how our callers, us, talking about like these losses or wins, like it's the end all be all. It's a definitive chapter in a season because it kind of can be with how few games you play. We don't talk about like specific hockey games unless like a genuine like don't stick up for Tage Thompson moment happens.
Right.
Usually it's we're talking about a cluster
or the loss to Colorado where they blow a 4-0 lead.
Yeah.
Yeah, Colorado.
Something big has to happen because normally we're more just talking about a cluster of games.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, is where I think the NHL still outmatches the NBA is because like you talked about it, you have so many games in the season. But in the NHL, you have 82 games, so does the NBA. But the playoffs are so much more intense in the NHL, in my opinion. I can't even get into the NBA when it's in the finals.
I think it's because there's genuinely more upsets.
True, but I think and that's the problem. Because I think when you look at the NBA, they build these super teams. They put Luka Doncic on the Lakers with LeBron James. Like, I get it, LeBron's 40, but he's still a good player.
Still really good.
And you build these super teams, like the Warriors a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, those teams are all just... Yeah, we'll trade you our star player for a bunch of picks and prospects that aren't ever going to make a difference. But, you'll have a good time. That to me is so uncompetitive. And it takes away from the sport for me because I love college basketball. College basketball, March Madness, that's the best time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But when it gets to the same type of level of games in the NBA where it's, hey, these guys are in a game 7 and they're playing to potentially go to the conference finals or the finals. Oh, they're playing the Lakers? Oh, all right. Well, never mind. The Lakers are going to win because they're the Lakers and they have the best players in the world on their team. Like, it just instantly tunes me out. Whereas in the NHL, you can have the bottom-seeded Florida Panthers go from barely making the playoffs to the Stanley Cup final, and then the next year they're there again and they win it.
Yeah.
Like, that to me is so much more of a draw. Like, I just can't look at some of these games and say like, yeah, no, I'm super into the NBA playoffs or I'm super into, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, what we're getting right now with the Four Nations face-off shows you basically a World Cup version of hockey because the only other sport that you really get this intensity from is soccer during the World Cup. Like, entire nations shut down for days when their team wins. Like, think about when England was on their run recently.
Yep.
Even in the Euros.
I even look at a country like Saudi Arabia when they beat Argentina.
Yep.
And just a group stage game. It wasn't like it was a knockout game, but it was so big for the, everything shut down. It was a national holiday, the whole thing.
Or when Argentina won the World Cup.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But that's my point is like, you can't, in some of these sports, you just can't create that sort of intensity. With basketball, you can't say, oh, let's do a World Cup of basketball because most of your players are from America.
Outside of like and what's frustrating is a lot of the best players are actually European players.
Right, but there's only one or two of them.
Yeah.
Like you can't say, for each country. Jokic is going to play on his Serbian team. Who's with him? And sure, there's probably good Serbian players. There's probably good Serbian players in the NBA or in the Serbian basketball league. But are they going to go up against, Steph Curry and LeBron James? Granted, maybe not now, but back in the day, like, are you going to put them up against the best players in America and think they're going to win? No, but that's when upsets happen. But the problem is you can't get enough of those kind of consistent upsets because that's really what sports kind of thrive on, is not the fact that you know that this team is going to upset the other team, but the fact that you know it's possible and not like this huge outside chance.
Yeah, like you mentioned it with college basketball and the NCAA tournament, that's why it's become so popular is the idea that of the 4-1 seeds that you get, there's a really good chance 3 of them don't even make the final 4.
Exactly.
And now we've also seen the 16-1 twice.
Mm-hmm.
So we in the last 10 years, we have now been able to see every kind of upset happen.
Yeah.
You know, small schools going on Sweet 16, Elite Eight runs where, yeah, you really don't get that in the NBA. You do get that in the NHL.
You don't necessarily – but and the thing too, like to bring it back to the Four Nations as well, is you're not really expecting the upset in the Four Nations, but you are expecting – games that you can look at and say, well, this team is clearly better, but the other team is just as is mm-hmm. almost just as good, kind of sort of thing. Like Canada and USA on Saturday. Team Canada on paper looked like the better team by a mile. The only place that's the only spot that you can say they're not better is goaltending. But you knew that the US, because of their physicality, had a fighting chance, and they won because of that. So that's where it's like it's not necessarily an upset. But it's one of those games where it's like, wow, that's like a shock. Like that's a big that's a big turnaround, right? So it's kind of just tough for me when I look at, you know, what this tournament is doing and how you can recreate it in other sports, and I just don't think it's possible. I don't think you can do that in other sports. I don't think you do that in the NFL or the NBA.
No, I agree.
You're kind of stuck in this mold of, well, we're going to have fun at the Pro Bowl by playing dodgeball and doing all this other stuff, and oh, the NBA All-Star game, oh, they're doing 40 points as their max. You know, whoever's first to 40, cool.
And I will also,
what else is on?
But I will also, real quick, to kind of wrap this up here because we got to take our first time out. I don't want to change All-Star formats. I don't want them to be competitive games. I don't want one of my players to get hurt in the NBA or NHL All-Star break.
Right.
Because they're playing a competitive game, which ultimately means nothing to my fandom. But this, for, you know, the international stuff, I don't look at it in the same light because it's your
country.
Yeah, it becomes like the Olympics or the World Cup or what have you, where you see the rivalries.
Like if I was Swedish, I would be incredibly excited for today because I know that hey, if my team wins in regulation, we could go to the final and play the U.S. again on Thursday.
Yep,
like that's a draw. But if you're looking at oh look, it's Team Shaq.
Yeah, just
cool.
You're doing too much. Doing too much. 803-0550, the number to call. Also want to jump in on some Bills stuff as well. The franchise tag window opens up tomorrow. Bills almost never use it. They really don't have a target, but it's a little bit more into the offseason. The combine is next week, which is very exciting. And also, me and Josh haven't been on air in a little bit. James Cook and everything going on there. Also want to touch on that as well. 803-0550, again, the number if you want to jump in. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WGR.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.